get too near. Life is no thrill, it's worse than ill. So draw the right conclusion, let them be still.
Welcome to episode number 75 of the Exploring Antinatalism podcast, a podcast showcasing the wide range of perspectives and ideas throughout antinatalism as it exists today, through interviews with antinatalists and non-antinatalist thinkers and creators of all kinds, now running 4 years strong. I'm your host, Amanda Sukenik, and today I'm speaking with Professor of Philosophy at Padre Isla Secondary School in Spain and author of the new book,
El Maldito Regalo de Nacer. Un ensayo antinatalista.
Which translates to The Cursed Gift of Being Born, an antinatalist essay, Miguel Angel Castro Moreno. And joining us today to assist with translation between Miguel and I is Mr. Fernando Montes Pethos. Thank you so much for making this interview possible, Fernando.
Porque esa es nuestra, la consagración del jesuita aragonés. Curiosamente, a veces he aprendido más filosofiando en lengua con las coplas de Jorge Manrique. Que contar. O sea, Fernando, que un poco por ahí, ¿eh? Te lo pone tan mal, Cioran, que dices, hostia, para arriba, no puede ser tan mal. Y vamos a engañarnos. Sí, venga, más cosas si queréis. Y ya acabamos en. Pero niña, ¿usted está bien? Pues yo, si usted está bien, yo también. Hombre, hombre. Gracias, León. Ay, Dios mío.
Welcome to the Exploring Antinatalism podcast, Miguel and Fernando. Miguel, what a pleasure it is to have you with me here today on the Exploring Antinatalism podcast. It is always a great joy for me to speak with new antinatalist philosophers. I have, of course, only just recently become aware of you and your work due to the extremely recent release of your new book, which is right here, The Cursed Gift of Being Born. Miguel, before we begin speaking about your new book, there's just a few questions I'd like to ask to start us off with. So first, let's begin. Who is Miguel?
Bueno, pues que antes de empezar, antes de entrar en materia, que quiere hacer unas cuestiones preliminares. La primera, ¿quién es Miguel Ángel Castro Moreno?
Bien, thank you, Amanda, for it. Bueno, es muy difícil contestar quién soy yo, pero desde luego que soy una persona que tuve la suerte de estudiar filosofía. Y era muy distinto a lo que me ofrecían otras materias, porque como que estaba todo ya, en otras materias era todo muy claro, ¿no? Y en filosofía te someten un poco a las dudas de la existencia. Entonces soy una persona que me pregunto muchas cosas.
Okay, he says that he was very lucky to study philosophy, because in other subjects the answers were clear cut, but in philosophy it makes you always wonder and question things instead of taking them for granted.
Miguel, why are you an antinatalist?
¿Por qué eres antinatalista?
Bueno, lo primero, más que antinatalista, yo diría que soy una persona que está pensando muy seriamente que la vida tiene muchísimo, muchísimo que ser reflexionada. Entonces creo que hay que plantearse mucho el traer hijos a la vida, ¿eh? Creo que más que antinatalista, creo que soy una persona que está reflexionando mucho sobre el valor de la vida y creo que hay que pensar si es prudente, ético, traer hijos a la vida.
Ok, rather than antinatalist, he considers himself a person who questions the value of a life because it is something which we usually take for granted. And before bringing a child to this world, I think that we ought to consider or pose a question whether it is an ethical thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful answer. Thank you so much. When did your interest in the subject of antinatalism first begin? And why do you feel that antinatalism is such an important subject? You know, what is it about antinatalism that you found to be so inspiring?
¿Por qué crees que es la cuestión del antinatalismo una idea tan importante? ¿Y qué es lo que has encontrado en ella de inspirador?
El antinatalismo es una corriente que surge en un momento donde los seres humanos tienen mucha conciencia de ser y del dolor. Si no hay conciencia de ser y del dolor, el antinatalismo no existe. Y por otra parte, afortunadamente, los métodos anticonceptivos, los métodos pues, de parar un poco la procreación, nos hacen ser mucho más prudentes a la hora de traer de una forma gratuita hijos al mundo.
Ok, antinatalism, sorry, is actually a reflection on the essence of being and the essence of pain too. Unfortunately, something which makes us humans different from other creatures is the fact that contraceptive methods offer us an opportunity to be able to have a control over bringing children to the world.
All right, wonderful. Outside of antinatalism, what are your other areas of philosophical and academic interest?
Del antinatalismo, ¿cuáles son tus otros campos,
sí.
tus otros intereses académicos?
Bueno, actualmente estoy trabajando muchísimo sobre una crítica a la psicología académica, una suerte de antipsicología. También estoy trabajando en el tema de la existencia, en la crítica política y todo lo que tiene que ver con la inteligencia emocional de los seres humanos, de cómo se relacionan entre ellos. Si quieres, luego te lo digo.
All right. Actually, he is working on a criticism to academic psychology. It could be considered a sort of anti-psychology essay. Apart from that, he is also doing some criticism on politics, on the political conception, and also on the fact of existence. How do the way they interrelate with each other?
An emotional intelligence.
An emotional intelligence too.
Y también una cosa muy importante, el concepto entre vida y muerte. La proximidad entre la vida y la muerte.
Okay, also the distance between, the close distance, in fact, between life and death. The concept of life and death are not so clear cut.
Amazing. It's a very wide range of philosophical and academic interests. And so I assume a lot more books, a lot more works on the way. So that's very exciting. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So this newest book, the Cruel Gift of Being Born, is not your first book, from what I understand. So can you tell me some more about your previous books? Is this your first book on antinatalism? In fact, I had assumed that, but I wasn't totally sure.
Bueno, que si tú, que si es este, aparte de que has escrito otros
sí.
libros, pero pregunta si es este tu primer libro específicamente sobre el tema del antinatalismo.
Hace unos años, mientras escribía este, surgió un embarazo que fue una novela filosófica que se titula No me pidas nacer, que es un las cartas.
He says that previous to that, he wrote a philosophical novel, so to speak, whose title was, in Spanish, No me pidas nacer, Don't ask me to be born, which, well, he has an imaginary conversation with his unborn child. And it's going to be, there's going to be a second edition soon. Shortly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, amazing. Okay, I didn't know about that. Can you tell me more about that?
Si puedes decir algo más acerca de...
Sí, es una, lo has dicho, ¿no? Es una carta, así pues, extensa, de unas 200 páginas, en la cual, pues, el padre está feliz, feliz, feliz de no haber traído a un hijo aquí para que vea las guerras, el desamor, el descontento, la infelicidad.
Esa, roughly speaking, it's a 200-page letter in which the father shows his happiness to his unborn son for not having brought him here, so that he doesn't have to suffer all the wars, all the discontent, all the pain of existence.
That sounds amazing. Well, I hope you don't mind me asking now. Are you at all familiar with "Because I Love You, You Will Not Be Born" by Julio Cabrera? It's a novel.
Si, si estás inspirado en si estás inspirado en el libro en la obra de Julio
En la
Cabrera, ¿no?
novela, en la
Sí,
novela. En
sí.
la novela no, ni la leí, ni siquiera leí Carta a un no nacido de Oriana Falachi.
Ajá. He had it, when he wrote that book, he hadn't even read the novel, and he hadn't read which is the title again?
Sí, de Oriana Falachi, una
Oriana
carta a
Falachi.
un no nacido, creo.
Letter to an Unborn Child by Oriana Falachi. He hadn't read that either. It's a
After.
coincidence.
Yes.
After.
Afterward, but so you've
Wow, pero
since
mucha coincidencia vi luego. Sí. Vi mucha coincidencia con Oriana Falachi.
But after that, he says that he was he saw a great area of a great the coincidence was quite remarkable between his own writing and Oriana Falachi's.
Amazing. Okay, amazing. Yes, we'll speak more about Julio Cabrera later. I'm glad that you're familiar with his work. I did see reference to him in the
Sí,
in.
sí, sí,
Oh,
sí.
good, good.
Ah, puedo, espera, que en este libro Julio Cabrera me ha inspirado mucho. Anteriormente Schopenhauer y Cioran, pero Julio Cabrera creo que es un gran maestro.
Julio, he says that Julio Cabrera has been a great master to him. Before Julio Cabrera, there were Schopenhauer and Cioran, but he recognizes the value and the influence of Julio Cabrera.
Excellent. I'm happy to hear that. Yeah, Julio is an amazing antinatalist and has been a guest on Exploring Antinatalism, incidentally. And if I'll send you a link, Miguel. His interview is in Spanish, so you might enjoy that one.
Que también Julio Cabrera ha estado invitado
Sí,
en
quiero
el
ponerme en
programa.
contacto con él.
He says he would like to contact him.
I'll help you with that. I have his
Okay.
contact information. I'll make sure that happens for sure. All right, wonderful. Thank you so much. Is your antinatalism informed or grounded in any one normative theory? For instance, quite a number of antinatalists are negative utilitarian. However, many, like Julio Cabrera, are deontologists. Where does your antinatalism fall within these perspectives, if at all?
Que cuáles son las bases que informan tu antinatalismo, si está basado en alguna teoría, porque, por ejemplo, hay antinatalistas que son utilitarios
Sí,
negativos,
sí.
como Julio Cabrera, o también bueno,
Sí.
¿dónde se situaría tu
Mi
antinatalismo?
postura no es utilitarista. Mi postura no es utilitarista, es más bien existencialista. No es que haya que dejar de traer niños porque si no el planeta pues se consume, sino que es una postura que considera, reconsidera el sufrimiento humano.
Okay, his position is not utilitarian, rather it's rather existentialist. Okay, it is not a matter of not bringing children to the world because we are damaging the planet or so. No, it's based on existentialism, pure existentialism. Okay, it's a reaction to.
Ética.
Again, to pain. It's an ethical position, mainly.
Excellent. So it's pure suffering focused antinatalism. All right, that I can definitely agree with that. All right, thank you. How do you feel antinatalism intersects, if at all, with other social and ethical issues such as atheism, the right to die, and veganism?
puntos de encuentro hay entre el antinatalismo y otros asuntos de relevancia ética como el ateísmo, el derecho a morir y el veganismo.
Yo veo muchísimos puntos de encuentro entre el ateísmo y el antinatalismo, porque Dios es como el freno, o mejor, el que motiva a que la gente siga trayendo hijos. En el momento que rompemos con la idea de Dios, el antinatalismo brota.
All right, he says that antinatalism and atheism are very close because God is a sort of break, or perhaps, if you give me the liberty, perhaps I should say accelerator that motivates us to bring children to the world. From the moment that you question the idea of God, then antinatalism springs out.
I agree 100%. I agree 100%. If you don't mind me adding, Fernando, I just wanted to ask Miguel quickly if he's aware of how much Christian antinatalism there is, though.
Que bueno, que si eres consciente de, bueno, la reacción del cristianismo frente al antinatalismo.
Sí, de hecho, publiqué hace un año Dios y la democracia en el cual, en ese libro, trituraba, destruía la idea de Dios, sea cristiano, musulmán, y la democracia. Porque la democracia también se las trae y tiene que ser criticada.
Before this one, he wrote another essay, which is called Dios y la democracia, God and Democracy, in which he destroyed the idea of God. And
I love it.
And also put the idea of democracy into question, because it is democracy is one of those ideas that we also take for granted, and it must be criticized. It ought to be.
Excellent. Okay. And I'm sorry. Let me just ask again. Do you, Miguel, have any thoughts on the intersection between antinatalism and the right to die and veganism or animal rights?
¿Ves alguna relación entre el antinatalismo y el derecho a morir, a la muerte digna?
Sí, sí, yo creo que sí. Yo creo que desde, por ejemplo, David Hume estaba a favor del suicidio en una de sus obras cortas. Creo que estas ideas de existencia tienen que ser poco a poco limadas por la nueva sociedad. Ahora, también se necesita una reflexión filosófica muy seria en este particular.
All right, he says, for example, thinkers like David Hume worked on the idea of suicide. Therefore, it is an idea that ought to be seriously considered in this society. Okay.
All right, excellent, excellent. Thank you. Thank you so much to both of you. Miguel, does your antinatalism extend into extinctionism? Are you an extinctionist antinatalist?
Que si es lo mismo, si el antinatalismo tiene que ver con el sí. extincionismo, y si te consideras a ti mismo un extincionista. La pregunta
es complicada y la respuesta lo es más. Yo creo que cuando vemos que un oso come salmones y los destruye, eso provoca dolor. Si vamos a las fuentes de Buda, por ejemplo, del budismo, vemos que la realidad tiende al estado cero, al nirvana. Ojalá, ojalá hubiera habido extincionismo. Pero una vez que estamos aquí, como seres conscientes, tenemos que pensar lo que hay. Es un gran problema filosófico, no fácil, pero desde luego que el antinatalismo no se corresponde totalmente con el extincionismo, pero tiene mucha relación, que luego podemos ver.
Okay, he mentions the example of a bear eating, hunting and devouring salmon, which is a terrible thing indeed to see. Another philosophies or religions like Buddhism have focused on this idea of the cardinal idea of Buddhism is the idea of extinction. And of course, there is an important overlapping between antinatalism and extinctionism to a great extent.
But you wouldn't consider yourself an extinctionist?
Si te considerarías a ti mismo extincionista. Sorry, there is something else I forgot. It is that once we are here, we have to be content with what is going on. Existence is a fact, whether we like it or not. We are here for good.
Okay, all right.
No quiere decir para siempre. Sí, sí. No, 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 no para bien. Sí.
All right, thank you so much. Thank you so much. As you may know, some antinatalism is anthropocentric in that it only deals with human procreation and human extinction, while other forms of antinatalism are sentiocentric in that their concern extends to all sentient life forms, both their birth and their extinction. What are your thoughts on anthropocentric versus sentiocentric antinatalism, and where do you fall in those two camps?
Bueno, algunos pensamientos antinatalistas son antropocéntricos en el sentido de que solamente se ocupan sí. de la extinción de la especie humana, mientras que otros son sentiocéntricos, en el sentido de que abarcarían todas las formas sintientes de vida, ¿no? ¿Cuál es tu posicionamiento en torno a estas dos perspectivas, antropocéntrico? I can't even articulate the word in Spanish contra versus sentiocéntrico.
Bien, por lo que decía antes del oso y del salmón, la existencia, una vez que la pensamos, muchos hacen una valoración muy positiva de existir. Es mejor ser que no ser. Yo no considero que sea mejor ser que no ser. Esa reflexión me lleva a postular que mejor, como dice Benatar, no haber sido, y que todas las formas sintientes, por mucho que crean que tienen, bueno, pues mejores réditos o beneficios viviendo, tal vez sería mejor que no existieran. Pero claro, seres como nosotros, tan, tan pequeños, individuales, no podemos cambiar todo el planeta en ese sentido.
We normally, or many people, consider that it is better being than not being. But perhaps we should reconsider that. He goes back to the example of the bear and the salmon. But the fact is that we, as human beings, our power is very limited, and we cannot change the fact of existence. The only thing we can do is to question whether, in fact, it is if existence is actually such a good thing.
Right. Okay. So, so let me ask this: you wouldn't want to put antinatalism into practice, right? Like, should nobody have children, and would extinction be acceptable if that happened, if we all sort of just agreed to a voluntary no more children?
Si piensas que bueno, que habría que cómo se podría poner ese antinatalismo cómo se podría llevar a la práctica. Si realmente es planteable el no tener más niños.
Claro, políticamente es inviable, pero creo que hay que educar. Yo a mis alumnos, el otro día hicimos un debate, Fernando estaba conmigo, y después del debate me han dicho que les ha hecho pensar, que han estado el fin de semana, el weekend, pensando en eso, Las ideas antinatalistas, filosóficamente, rigurosamente explicadas, deben ser expuestas ante la opinión pública, porque no son un capricho.
All right. He says that education plays an essential role. The other day, there was a debate in our school, it was attended by the students, and after the debate, some students told him that the debate had made him think and reconsider certain things that ought to be put into question, ought to be analyzed, because we often take them for granted. And education, the role of it, the role of education is very important, definitely.
And pardon me, this debate was on the subject of antinatalism or other subjects?
Que si fue, bueno, el I was present there too.
Oh, okay.
Se centró en el tema del antinatalismo.
Only, ¿es la vida un regalo?
Only, yes. The topic was, is life a present? So it was only focused on, or basically focused on antinatalism. Yeah.
Amazing, amazing.
I acted as a moderator myself.
Oh, incredible, incredible. And so that was at the school that you both work at. And so may I ask, are they, they're high school students? So they're young people, and you're the only antinatalist philosopher I know of that teaches children that young and is presenting these ideas to people that young. And I find that really remarkable.
Eres el único filósofo que conocí ya que enseña a alumnos tan jóvenes y que les hable del antinatalismo a gente tan joven.
Me sorprendió una niña de 15 años, yo creo que a ti también, 15, bueno, 14, que dijo que la vida no es un regalo, y sin haber leído a Julio Cabrera o a mí, dijo que era una imposición. La vida es una imposición. Una niña inteligente, muy preocupada por las cuestiones filosóficas.
He was impressed by and surprised by girls, a 15-year-old student, who said that life was no present without having read his book or Julio Cabrera.
Una imposición.
Sometimes, yes, he saw life as an imposition, okay? And I can say that both of us were quite surprised by her.
Yeah, that's extraordinary. There's one other antinatalist philosopher, actually worked at the university I went to, the School of the Art Institute of Chicago. His name is Raja Halwani, and he's the only one that I know of that teaches undergraduates. So again, I think you're the first to actually present these ideas to people so young, you know, within an academic environment. So, you know, congrats on that. It's quite amazing.
Los entendió, creo que es el primero que,
bueno, habrá más
que se ha abierto camino, sí, en este sentido, de enseñar a gente tan joven.
All right, we have two more questions before then we'll get to the book. So outside of Wikipedia, antinatalism is still not included or defined by any dictionary in the world in any language. I have actually personally campaigned twice to have the word added into the Oxford English Dictionary, with no success, unfortunately. And in addition to this, even the Wikipedia definition keeps changing. There's been many different iterations of the Wikipedia definition. So antinatalism has yet to be properly defined, yet to be become a full, actually legitimized word anywhere in the world. So how do you feel that antinatalism should be defined?
Bueno, que no hay ningún diccionario en el mundo que defina, que incluya la palabra antinatalismo, que ya, bueno, se haya llevado a cabo dos campañas para intentar que se incluya en el Oxford English Dictionary, el equivalente al diccionario de la RAE. ¿Y cómo crees tú que debería definirse el término antinatalismo, una definición de diccionario?
Bueno, pues en principio es una pregunta difícil, claro, porque pero sería como una cuestión filosófica de plantearse la existencia, la procreación y el valor de la vida, ¿no? desde un punto de vista riguroso. Entonces, antinatalismo tal vez es una palabra que tiene dificultad porque antinatalismo tiene cierta complejidad, pero tal vez se podría, bueno, pues no sustituir, pero sí también, pues en principio, empezar a sugerir el término porque ese término genera la realidad, en cierta manera. No obstante, ahí sí que me veo yo un poco no muy capaz para responder, porque antinatalismo yo creo que es más bien el tema de la procreación de la existencia, y ahí sí que me veo un poco perdido, ¿eh?
Porque antinatalism, the word antinatalism is closely connected with the problem of procreation, and well, he thinks that it ought to be taken into consideration because the word generates the idea, but he doesn't feel very confident when creating a dictionary, a clear-cut definition.
No obstante, creo que es muy necesario acciones, pues como las que está haciendo ella y en muchos puntos, ¿no? De que no vean la existencia como lo inercial, que hay que considerar mucho.
Yes, he thinks it is important to do campaigns like the ones you mentioned before, and try to make people conscious that existence is not something that we ought to take for granted. That we must question things, okay, as they are.
I 100% agree, absolutely. And I also have to say, I mean, I agree. I mean, how to define the term is so complicated because this thing just keeps on getting more and more.
Muchas.
Yeah, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and what it includes and what it should say, it just gets more and more complicated. And there's so much disagreement between antinatalists about what it means, you know, just amongst us, not let alone people who don't agree with it. So it's a very complicated thing.
Es un tema muy complejo que tiene muchos aristas,
sí,
y que
tiene muchos campos,
cada uno...
muchas relaciones. No obstante, dile que yo puse un ensayo antinatalista porque sabía que iba a tener más tirón, aunque mis compañeros del trabajo me miran menos, con menos cariño.
Okay, he says that he added the subtitle an antinatalist essay. Because he thought that it would explain better the content, the idea which rules the book, so to speak. But one of the negative unexpected effects is that his workmates seem to be slightly offended with him.
Well, that is hard to avoid with dealing with a subject like this. But kudos, you're very brave for using the word, and it's very, very important that people use the word antinatalism. It has to get out there, especially if we want to get it into things like dictionaries and find legitimacy.
Me
so,
voy a quedar sin amigos.
Sí, pero que has sido muy valiente. He says, well, that he's going to run out of friends.
I know how that feels. Yeah, it's okay. You're making new friends. You got a whole antinatalist community now. New amigos. Yeah. Excellent. Well, again, I think it's very. I think you made the right choice despite all of that. So yeah.
¿Qué cree que hiciste la
elección? Estoy muy orgulloso. Estoy muy contento. Muy satisfecho.
He says he's very proud.
Primero
very
la verdad.
Happy.
Primero la verdad.
The truth first.
The truth first, exactly. Yes, you have much to be proud of for doing that, absolutely. Miguel, in addition to being a philosophical position... Oh, sorry.
No, que tienes que sentirte orgulloso.
Yeah, satisfecho.
More than that. Orgulloso is the word, proud. Sí.
Pardon me, yes, of course. Miguel, in addition to being a philosophical position, antinatalism is also a growing activist movement. And for the last few years, we've begun to see the emergence of things like antinatalist street activism, the growth of antinatalist art, And even a few proto nonprofit organizations like Stop Having Kids in the United States. And then I have a collective, it's not really an organization, called Antinatalism International. What are your thoughts about, you know, antinatalism emerging as not just a philosophy, not just a philosophical position, but also an art movement and also an activist movement as well?
Bueno, vamos a que hay un activismo, un movimiento antinatalista en la calle muy importante. Existe también el arte antinatalista e incluso hay organizaciones que son como parecidas a las ONGs, como es el caso de Stop Having Kids en Estados Unidos. Y que bueno, ¿qué opinas tú o la que ya pertenece antinatalismo internacional? Y si que cómo ves tú el que el antinatalismo salga de los foros académicos, los debates, si valoras positivamente el que haya un activismo, el que salga a la calle, el movimiento.
Sí, lo valoro positivamente. Me parece que es todo lo que tenga que ver con la dimensión política del antinatalismo, me parece muy correcto y ok, perfecto. Me parece que hay que llevar una labor pedagógica como no se ha hecho hasta ahora. Y por otra parte, en este sentido, me gustaría decir también que mucha gente que es muy pronatalista, luego a la gente que tiene nacidos no les hace ni caso, ¿no? A los compañeros de trabajo o a la gente que nos rodea. Es muy curiosa esta ironía de la vida cuando decimos yo soy muy pronatalista, como las iglesias católicas, etcétera, y luego con los vivos los tienen totalmente desamparados.
All right. he says that he insists on the role of education and it's important to bring this debate to the streets. But apart from that, he's shocked or disgusted at the fact that many people who consider themselves pronatalists and so on, however, are quite thoughtless towards their workmates and are very selfish indeed. There is this strong chasm, so to speak, between what they preach and what they do.
Absolutely. So would you agree that, considering that, you know, the power that pronatalism has, the antinatalism has to be fought on like many sides, right? Like education, activism, and art. Would you agree with that, Miguel?
Sí, crees que bueno, que dado que la fuerza, el poder que tiene el movimiento pronatalista, pues sí, el antinatalismo tiene que desplegar, digamos, todos los medios que tiene a su alcance, educación, activismo, arte, para
yo creo hacerse que fuerte. Creo que en este siglo es el siglo del, aunque no lo crea la gente, del antinatalismo. Corrientes filosóficas, algunas a las que yo pertenezco, desprecian este tema, lo creen superado, pero están equivocados, porque cada vez más va a haber más resurgimiento del antinatalismo que no es nuevo en la historia. Uh-huh. Incluso yo me siento un poco proscrito por este tema.
Okay, he says that in his opinion this is going to be the century of antinatalism, and he mentions the fact that despite all the opposition, antinatalism is gaining force, is gaining strength by the day, and that we are on the verge of a big change in this field.
Y además, Amanda, generalmente se hace un catecismo pronatalista, ya desde las iglesias, creced y multiplicaos, y falta como el antagonismo, ¿no? El meter la cuña socrática de si es bueno hacer nacer a otros e imponerles una existencia que no han pedido.
Mm-hmm. Okay, he criticizes the fact that there is a pronatalist catechism, and he thinks it is necessary to create an opposite, an antinatalist catechism, so to speak, in order to introduce the Socratic peg, okay,
yeah,
and make people reflect on the subject from another angle, from the opposite point of view to the traditional one.
I agree 100%. It's the antinatalist voice. You're 100% correct. It's growing every year. It's emerging. It's such an ancient idea. That's the funny thing. It's been around for such an incredibly long time. So the question of why now is kind of an interesting one, and I don't have a good answer for that. But it's definitely growing, and it's definitely time. And
sí, que bueno, que aunque ha habido filósofos antinatalistas desde siempre,
sí.
Que el hecho es que la idea está cobrando fuerza.
Sí.
Que bueno, y otra cosa es analizar el porqué, sí. Pero que es un hecho. Vamos.
Vi que en nuestra tradición española tenemos autores de primera, como Calderón de la Barca, Gracián, aunque desde un punto de vista cristiano, incluso, bueno, pues sí, las coplas de Jorge Manrique, que tienen una potencia antinatalista tremenda. Lo que pasa es que está el filtro de Dios.
All right. He mentions the fact, he also mentioned it in the book, because I have read it, that there are Spanish writers like Baltasar Gracián, Calderón de la Barca, Jorge Manrique, Francisco de Quevedo, who have not focused on the idea of antinatal, the idea obviously didn't exist, but who have insisted in questioning the value of existence, although they do it from a Christian perspective, but they put into question the value of life from long centuries ago.
Y si quitas a Dios, se va directamente al antinatalismo.
If you remove the idea of God, it leads directly to antinatalism.
100% with you on that one. So let me, I would love to get the names of those authors later on from you, because, you know, I wanted to say, I know so little about the history of antinatalism in Spain. I think you are maybe the first Spanish antinatalist I've ever met.
If you allow me to introduce some of these authors, like Jorge Manrique, have been, or Calderón de la Barca, have been translated. There are very good English translations of them. And the best translation of Calderón de la Barca that I know of was, the best translation of Calderón de la Barca is, we owe it to an American translator, precisely Henry Wadsworth. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow.
Schopenhauer tradujo Gracián.
Also, Schopenhauer translated Baltasar Gracián. He was a priest. He was a. But all right. They were very important connections between their ideas.
Amazing. I would love to read their work. Absolutely. Thank you for letting me know about them. I'm always curious to know some of the, you know, antecedents to this way of thinking. So that's fascinating. Do you know of any other contemporary Spanish antinatalist thinkers other than yourself? Do you know others? You know, are you aware of any kind of antinatalist community at all in Spain?
Otros filósofos, otros pensadores antinatalistas aparte de ti mismo, españoles.
Hay un programa de radio que se llama Joan Cátaro, es un hombre de Barcelona, y tiene por ahí algún programa de temas de estos. Luego hay gente que, una vez que ha visto mi libro, quiere hacer el doctorado, filosofía, el doctorado con mi libro, etcétera, y me han mandado mensajes. Y luego también tengo algún amigo, incluso en Canarias, de anarquismo antinatalista, que se llama así, que, bueno, siempre los libros que yo he publicado, y a Julio Cabrera, a Benatar y a todos estos. Hay movimientos por ahí, hoy por hoy, atómicos, pero que posiblemente luego se unan.
Okay, there is there are people who have tried to contact King through messages after they have heard about his book, who even want to write their PhD dissertation on antinatalism. There is always another man. I have forgotten his name. Se me ha olvidado el nombre del el que tiene el programa radio en
Sí,
Barcelona.
sí, Juan Cátaro.
Joan Cátaro, he has a podcast in Barcelona similar to your program, and
Interesting.
also there is another philosopher right in the
Sí.
Canary Islands. Okay.
Sí, anarquismo antinatalista, que quedó muy agradecido de mi novela No me pidas nacer porque le ayudó para no tener hijos. Me
Who
lo ha
read
dicho.
his previous novel, the novel we talked about before, No me pidas nacer, Don't ask me to be born, and who expressed
Agradecimiento.
his gratitude to him
Y
because
mucha gente me lo dice.
it illuminated him not to have any children.
Sí.
There more people have.
Anarquismo antinatalista
And,
en Facebook. Se llama así, anarquismo antinatalista. Escribe así,
ah.
firma.
Ah, and this contact in the Canary Islands, his nickname on Facebook is antinatalism, antinatalist anarchism.
Oh yes, okay. I know that person. Yes. What beautiful. Okay. What there is one person I actually forget. I always forget because he's actually German, but he writes in Spanish and lives in Spain. Is Miguel Steiner. Are you familiar at all with Mr. Miguel Steiner? He's a good friend of mine.
Sí, en el libro lo cito y lo tenemos aquí en la biblioteca pública y lo leí y sí, hay ciertas conexiones con Miguel Steiner.
He quotes it. He quotes him
En la biografía.
in his book, in the bibliographical reference. At the end, he is also in the public library, and he says, yes, there are certain coincidences.
Beautiful. Okay, wonderful. Thank you. All right. Well, now I would love to ask you a little bit about your book, but in English, it's The Cruel Gift of Being Born. I so wish that I could read it. Unfortunately, the language barrier prevents me. I so hope that there will be an English translation of not only this work, but your other antinatalist works at some point, because I'd absolutely love to engage with them more fully. But yes, I'm just curious to know anything and everything that you can tell me about the book. I mean, how did the process of writing it begin? When did you first get the idea? If you can tell me a little bit about its contents, I'm so curious to know anything you'd like to tell me about it.
Bueno, que ella, en primer lugar, que lamenta mucho no poder leer el libro debido a las barreras lingüísticas, pero que le interesaría mucho saber, bueno, cómo surgió la idea, cómo creció el libro, y bueno, aunque sea es difícil, pero bueno, un breve resumen de sus contenidos.
Bueno, pues surgió por la experimentación del propio sufrimiento. Surgió por la experiencia del propio sufrimiento personal y luego ver el dolor reiterado de los que me rodean, que aunque disimulan bajo las series, los programas de televisión, todos los contenidos con películas, novelas, rehúsan el cuestionarse la existencia, porque mientras estén entretenidos, no sufren, no sufrimiento, ¿no? De momento y luego.
Sprouted, say, as a reaction to pain when he realized or became conscious of the pain around him. Although this pain sometimes is silenced, because people try different kinds of distractions, like watching a series on TV and so on, because deep inside, it refuses to question the value of existence. It's an uncomfortable question, an uncomfortable issue.
Y luego del libro, Amanda, el libro, aunque tiene muchísimos así capítulos y bueno, está vertebrado, tiene una gran, hace un énfasis muy grande entre la estética y la ética. Una cosa es que la vida es wonderful, bonita, bella, hermosa, y otra cosa es que la vida siempre es o hacer dolor, causar dolor a los otros o recibir dolor. Aquí hay un término que yo, bueno, creo que lo he usado por primera vez en esta literatura, que lo llamo el acoso vitalicio. No es un acoso puntual, ¿no? Es un acoso desde el momento, desde el mismo útero, ya estamos siendo condicionados, manipulados, pese a los engaños que nos traemos para disimular ese condicionamiento. Es una cadena de condicionamiento brutal.
One of the aspects of the book, which are a sort of spine of the book, is the difference between the aesthetical, and the ethical approach. There is no question that the world is a beautiful place, that there are many beautiful things in the world, but as we analyze it more in depth. Sorry, but I'm afraid I have lost track of no, que después de lo de la diferencia entre el enfoque estético y el ético
Sí.
que añadiste a continuación.
Bueno, que estamos constantemente ahí siendo llevados. Ah, bueno, los condicionamientos brutales que tenemos ya desde el útero.
Yes, ah, yes, no,
Sí.
another important, yes, sorry, I have just remembered that one key concept that he thinks he's the first person to use this term is the term perpetual harassment. Before we are born, or from the very moment we are born, we are subject to all kinds of dangers, pain, illnesses, and so on. And this is one of the cardinal concepts.
Y luego que la idea, el libro también es una crítica a todos los movimientos que hay de la idea de felicidad, de persona, de humanismo, de feminismo, porque si los analizamos de una forma muy particular, vemos que hay mucho engaño. Eso de tratar a los demás como personas es un trampantojo, un truco, un truco, ¿cómo se dice?
It's tricky. It's so slippery. A slippery consideration. He criticizes movements such as feminism, humanism, and many of these
Persona.
ideologies. Yes, which try to avoid the sorry, but I have lost track again.
¿Pero cómo?
que me he vuelto a perder.
¿Pero en español?
Sino que
Sí, que
sí,
tratar a los
no.
demás como personas o los derechos humanos, cuando vemos a los marroquíes o a la gente que está muriendo en
Sí.
las costas, en el mar,
Sí.
en los pueblos con hambrunas, es una infamia, es
Yes.
vergonzoso no reconocer por lo menos lo malvados que somos.
We can humanism. There is it is sometimes quite hypocritical because when we see so much suffering, the people, for example, who get drowned in the Mediterranean Sea when they try to cross to the Spanish or the Italian coast, and sometimes humanism is all right, but some people manipulate it as a way of ignoring or avoiding to think how cruel we can be to each
Hipocresía.
other. There's a great deal of hypocrisy in much of these humanist movements.
Very extremely interesting. Can you tell me a little bit about more about your harassment argument? Because I do think that might be unique to you. Gerald Harrison, I think, says something similarly. And so I'd be interested in hearing more about the harassment argument that you're proposing. And I'm also curious if you could tell me a little bit about your thoughts on the other, you know, standard philanthropic antinatalist arguments like asymmetry, risk, and consent. What do you think of those arguments in addition to your own? You know?
Bueno, que le gustaría que explicases un poco más la idea de acoso, en qué consistiría básicamente este.
Sí, el acoso vitalicio es la forma casi cotidiana de vivir. Por mucho que nos podamos engañar que somos libres, aquí voy a las corrientes de conductismo, observo que estamos condicionados, manipulados, incluso por nuestros gustos. Es decir, que creemos que hacemos las cosas porque nos gusta, cuando en el fondo son los deseos a los cuales estamos totalmente vinculados los que nos llevan. Desde ese punto de vista, en primer lugar.
Okay, he says that harassment, perpetual harassment, is like an everyday. It's somehow like the air we breathe. Although we may have the illusion that we are free and that we make our own choices, in fact, we are strongly conditioned by the environment, social and family, and the educational medium in which we have evolved, and we are not conscious up to in to what extent we are actually influenced, or however convinced we may be that we are free to make our own choices. This is the idea of perpetual harassment, basically.
Sí, y que hay una, es curiosísimo porque veo mucha conexión, Amanda, con el behaviorismo. Yo soy behaviorista skinneriano, una escuela de psicología americana. Soy también cada vez más anarquista porque creo que está muy relacionado, por supuesto, ateísta. Y veo unas conexiones entre estas ideas que te llevan también a confluir, a dar más fuerza todavía a estos argumentos.
Okay.
Ateísmo, anarquismo.
He considers himself a disciple of Skinner and his behaviorist philosophy. And he also sees himself as an anarchist and a convinced atheist. I think that all these currents come to the same point, reinforce the idea of antinatalism.
Pero también creo que es muy importante la compasión con el budismo y entender lo que pasa, porque la gente no se entera de nada.
And he also thinks that compassion, the idea of compassion, which is present in Buddhism, is also very important, and to awaken consciousness, because people are not have asleep. they are not conscious of what's going on.
All right, thank you so much for all of those details. I think my way of thinking personally has some connections with your perpetual harassment argument. So there's pieces of that I very, very much think are very, very solid. So fascinating. And let me ask again, if you don't mind, what are your thoughts on the other antinatalist arguments that are so common, like the Benatarian asymmetry, risk, and consent? What do you think about those arguments?
¿Qué opinas de los otros argumentos para justificar el antinatalismo, como pueden ser el riesgo, bueno, de una catástrofe nuclear, por ejemplo?
Totalmente. Sí, claro, la gente cree, como decía Séneca, que va a vivir siempre. La gente piensa que va a vivir siempre y nunca piensa en los riesgos del mañana. Vivir así es una forma muy alocada de vivir.
He considers, like Seneca, said that we think that we are going to live forever, and that is by no means true.
No
And
piensa,
the,
sí.
and it is a thoughtless way of living. By the way, I remember.
Yes.
May I make a I remember that in one of the chapters of the book, he said, maybe he doesn't remember himself, that when someone asks you what is the purpose or why not bringing a good argument for not bringing children to the world, he says something that so that they never get charred could be a good answer or a possible answer.
So that they never get charred, like burned.
Yes.
Yes, that's definitely a good argument.
One of them, one of many.
yes, one of many. Thank you for that in detail. Absolutely, Miguel. So sorry. When we communicated on Facebook, I asked you at that time if you consider yourself an antinatalist philosopher, and you said yes in the sense of both Schopenhauer and Emile Cioran. So I was interested in how both of them have influenced your antinatalism.
Bueno, que cuando te preguntó si eras un filósofo
Sí.
antinatalista, dijiste que sí, en la
Sí,
línea de
sí, sí.
Schopenhauer y
Sí,
Cioran, y
sí.
en qué medida te consideras discípulo de ellos, o
Hombre,
influido por
pues,
ellos.
por ejemplo, Schopenhauer nos da unas pistas en muy pocas palabras, nos desvela muy bien dónde está el asunto, ¿no? Y como bebió de los españoles que antes dije, pues es un maestro de la sospecha de decir aquí hay gato encerrado, ¿no? En la existencia. Porque detrás de el sexo, los placeres, la vida mundana de los yates, la gente que va con champán, etcétera, no hay más que espuma, nada.
Okay, he says that Schopenhauer influenced him in as much as he was in his turn, he was influenced by the previous Spanish writers that he mentioned before. And he teaches, Schopenhauer teaches us to be suspicious of things that we often take for granted, because he says that under we may, however cheerful we can be with existence, and under the bubbles of champagne, there is too much spray that we don't see.
Y luego también Cioran
Love that.
no es un maestro menor, es súper importante y cada vez se va a notar más. Un filósofo que vivía en un ático ahí pobre va a tener una fuerza cada vez mayor porque es un autor muy denso y no se le trata en la academia como merecen, igual que Schopenhauer, pero tal vez mejor, porque esa fuerza que tienen en la marginalidad va a ser va a ser la que salga de esas márgenes.
He mentions Cioran, who is a philosopher who has not been very widely or very well considered in academic circles, but his influence and his importance is growing by the day, and he thinks that Cioran is definitely going to be a very powerful influence in the future, because he's got a powerful voice.
I very much agree. I very much agree. Thank you so much for your thoughts on both of them. And what are your thoughts on more contemporary antinatalism? So what do you think, and what is your familiarity with other antinatalist philosophers like David Benatar, Sienna Shiffrin, Matti Heiri, and Julio Cabrera? And I also noticed in your references, you made a reference to Fernando Vallejo. I was also very happy to see that. So I'd love to know your thoughts on as many of those people as you might be familiar with. Yeah.
Bueno, ¿en qué medida crees que, bueno,
Sí,
que te han
sí.
influido los antinatalistas contemporáneos, David
Sí.
Benatar, Julio Cabrera, Fernando Vallejo?
Benatar menos que Cabrera, porque Cabrera publicó el libro 10 años antes que Benatar. Pero como escribe en español, ha sido más difícilmente traducido, vamos, ha sido menos reconocido por ese problema del inglés. Pero Fernando Vallejo me parece muy interesante por esa forma de exponer lo que muchos pensamos con ese desparpajo.
He says that Benatar influence has not been as strong as Julio Cabrera. Julio Cabrera wrote his book 10 years before Benatar
More or
did,
less.
but his influence hasn't been so strong due to the fact that he wrote it in Spanish and, well, English is more international, you see. And that may be the reason why he has not received so much recognition. And as for Fernando Vallejo, he says that he is quite impressed by the how confident he sounds in his presentation of the topic.
Y dos, Corinne Mayer, psicoanalista belga que vive en Francia, Corinne Mayer, publicó un libro que se titula No Kids, en el cual recomendaba, ella tiene 2 hijos, que no trajeran hijos las mujeres porque les iba a obstaculizar una vida mínimamente de desarrollo, y luego te digo otro.
Corinne Mayer, a Belgian psychologist who wrote a book titled No Kids. She is a mother of 2 kids herself, but however, she insisted on the idea of not bringing any more children to this world.
Y Luis Bulci, un español de Barcelona, en 1915, publicó un libro que se titula Huelga de vientres, para que no trajeran pobres para ser totalmente esclavizados por el trabajo. Huelga de vientres.
¿Cómo se llama otra vez?
Luis Bulci.
And he also mentioned a Catalan writer, Luis Bulci, who in 1915 he wrote a book
Anarquista.
called An Anarchist
Médico,
Philosopher.
era
He
sí.
was a doctor, professionally he was a doctor, and he wrote a very interesting book called Strike on Pregnancy.
Sí.
Antiguo,
Amazing,
sí,
I did not heard
pero
of
bien, bien.
that. Sí. Huelga de vientres.
The author of No Kids, I'm somewhat familiar with that book, although I've never spoken to the author before. And she was also a guest at that recent conference you had, right? With your
Que ha
mother.
estado invitada en el programa,
Ah,
Corinne Mayer.
vale. Yo veré. I will see. I will see. I will see.
Amazing. Yeah. But thank you for your thoughts on all of those people. I agree with you about Fernando Vallejo. I mean, he has a very striking way of speaking. Very, 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 very controversial thinker. But it's nice to see somebody bring him up because not a lot of people know about him.
Sí, que es controvertido.
Sí, bueno, que es un pensador controvertido
Sí.
y que quizás pues por ese motivo no mucha gente le conoce, ¿no?
Sí, en Colombia se lee mucho, aquí en España también.
He's well known in Colombia,
Ya.
and also in Spain, but maybe
Sí, novelas. Sí, sí.
he has written novels, but maybe he has not so much international projection.
Bueno, pero tiene su éxito.
But he's been quite successful.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So about that wonderful sculpture. So the front cover of your book features this very interesting bust of an infant, and I noticed makes an appearance on your Facebook page, and you showed it to us a little bit earlier. What can you tell me about the significance of this sculpture? Did you do this sculpture, or please tell me more about it.
Sorry, you're asking him if he did the sculpture himself.
Yeah.
Que, ¿cuál es el significado de la escultura y que si la hiciste tú?
No, no, ya hubiera querido, no, no.
Okay, es, okay.
La compré con mi mujer por ahí y es una esculturina de estas que nos acompaña, que es como casi mejor que esté así, que no haya sido un ser humano lleno de deseos y de dolor.
Okay, he didn't make the sculpture himself.
Okay.
He and his wife bought it somewhere, and he prefers it to be. I think it's much better for him to be that way, instead of a human being full of pain and suffering.
Ah, I see. Yes, yes. I've often thought the same. It'd be nice to just be an inanimate object, for sure. Oh, well, thank you for that. Miguel, you recently did this amazing lecture in promotion of the book, and accompanying you as part of that event was your own mother. And the event was indeed filmed, and the video is now available on your YouTube channel. I have watched it. Unfortunately, I couldn't understand any of it, of course, but it was a remarkable video, as are many of the videos that you make on your YouTube channel. I highly recommend everybody go subscribe to Miguel's YouTube channel. But anyway, it looked like an extremely powerful event, and I'd really love to know more about this event. Can you tell me more about the event and what your mother's reaction was to being at this event and to the book itself? And I'd love to hear a little bit about the effect that your antinatalism has had on the relationship between, you know, you and your parents. I mean, I know it's a very personal subject. I hope you don't mind me asking, but yeah, I'd really love to hear more about that.
Bueno, que habéis en el vídeo de YouTube que te acompañaba tu madre en la presentación del libro, que ya vio que era un evento muy muy impactante, ¿no? Que por cierto ha recomendado la suscripción a tu canal de YouTube. Y bueno, la pregunta concreta es cuál ha sido la reacción de tu madre al enterarse de la existencia de este libro y de qué que sabe que es una pregunta muy personal, pero de qué manera ha influido este libro en tu relación con tus padres, con tus propios padres.
Bueno, mi padre ya murió, pero mi madre es una mujer que siempre me ayudó mucho a estudiar. Es decir, que siempre me ha permitido. Mi herencia ha sido el estudio, el poder estudiar.
Uh-huh.
Y siempre me ha dejado muy libre. Entonces, con ella no he tenido ningún problema. Ella tiene su filosofía y yo tengo la mía. A veces hablamos, filosofamos, y ella dice que, bueno, que cosas tengo, y yo le digo qué cosas tiene ella, ¿no? Pero bueno, que yo estoy muy contento de que haya estado mi madre el otro día, porque la vida es muy rápida, efímera, y entonces estoy encantado de que me hubiera acompañado.
Well, his father died a long time ago. His mother has always been very helpful with him in his studies. She has always supported him, and she's a very respectful woman because she has her own ideas of her own philosophy. He has her own philosophy, and there has always been mutual respect, and he thinks that it is great, and his reaction has always been very understanding. So no. No, not the slightest problem.
That's no wonderful. Problem. I'm really happy to hear that. You know, it's there's many antinatalists in the world who don't know how to talk to about these ideas with their parents, and that's a big subject of conversation, you know, in antinatalist communities. Like how do you speak about these ideas with one's parents? And, you know, there's all kinds of, there's families that have been, you know, really deeply negatively affected by either the parent's antinatalism later on in life or the child's antinatalism. And so this was a very positive example of the antinatalism between a parent and child that has evidently gone very, very well. So it was a really, really beautiful video for that reason.
Yeah, que bueno, que ella se alegra mucho, que le causa gran satisfacción ver que, a diferencia de otros filósofos antinatalistas, que en sus relaciones con sus padres este es un tema tabú del que no quieren hablar y tal, pues que ella se alegra mucho de ver que, bueno, la relación tan buena que tenéis y lo respetuosos que, vamos... Sí. Respetuosos y bueno, incluso cariñosos.
Sí, ¿no? Además yo creo que esto me une más que a ella, porque reconozco, bueno, pues es una venganza mía hacia ella.
he says that he feels even more even closer to her, more strongly united, and that he also says that he sees his attendance to the event as a sort of revenge on her.
It's very, very positive, but very complicated, right? I totally understand that. Well, thank you for your insight into that. I mean, I really highly recommend everybody go watch that video. I think it's a very important one for sure. And it was very well attended too.
Se puede poner en inglés.
Ah, you can watch the video with subtitles in English if you wish.
Oh, good. Okay, I didn't realize there was subtitles. Okay, I'll check that out for sure. So, and just a few more questions, Miguel. Thank you so much for both of you for your time. This has been a great interview. Antinatalism is, of course, an extremely controversial subject, and though its presence in academia is growing, that growth has been extremely slow, and there's still a great deal of work to be done towards antinatalism finding an acceptance and legitimacy that it so deserves within academic circles. You talked a little bit about this already, but what has your experience of articulating an antinatalist perspective been like within academia for you? Have you been met with much resistance? How much of that reaction has been positive? And like, what would you like to see happen? Like, what does the future of academic antinatalism look like, in your opinion?
Bueno, que el antinatalismo, pues, lo mismo, pues, casi un tema tabú en círculos académicos. Y que cómo valoras tú la reacción de los círculos académicos ante la idea del antinatalismo y cómo crees que ésta se abrirá paso en esos círculos?
Bueno, con pequeñas con publicaciones como esta y otras más, ¿no? Que poco a poco vayan viendo que no es un tema baladí, que no es un tema menor y que es un tema, como decía antes, del momento. Es el tema, yo creo, que la gente no quiere mirar, ¿no? Es como en el libro, empiezo como en El nombre de la rosa diciendo que hay un libro que no quieren mirar, el de Rishu, de Aristóteles, y ahí está un poco también, ya lo presento desde el principio, ¿no? Que es un tema que el bibliotecario no deja entrar a nadie, a Sin Connery ni a nadie.
Yes, he says that the future of antinatalism in academic circles, he thinks that it will grow, evolve little by little, and it is true that he has met a strong resistance, a strong opposition, and he sets the example of the name of the rose and the image of the librarian who prevents anyone's entrance to the library. He doesn't allow Sean Connery nor anybody to enter. Okay, but he thinks that the idea will eventually prosper, however the difficulties.
Little by little, it soldiers on. But I agree with you. I think it will get
better. In spite of the difficulties, it will grow little by little.
All right, thank you for your thoughts on that. I agree with you. I just wanted to ask a little bit about your YouTube channel. So you're making quite a lot of videos about antinatalism on your YouTube channel now. I'm curious what the reaction on YouTube has been to your antinatalist videos, and if you've been contacted by many antinatalists on YouTube about the videos you're making. You know, YouTube has been an incredibly important medium for antinatalists in the last 10 years. There's been an incredible amount of antinatalism happening on YouTube. So I'm curious to know,
As a child,
if you found much
sorry.
success with your ideas there.
Sí, que has hecho muchos vídeos en YouTube en torno al tema del antinatalismo. YouTube, obviamente, es un medio de comunicación muy importante, y que si has contactado con muchos, a través de YouTube, con muchos anti. Si te ha servido
Bueno,
para.
sí, ha empezado gente a ser más, digamos, a conectarse más conmigo. Me han pedido, pues, el libro de varias partes del mundo. Y creo que, bueno, que más adelante a lo mejor tiene su repercusión. Desde luego que es un libro que está muy trabajado, no es un fruto de 2 días, ¿no? Como se puede ver, y que más encarecido. Por ejemplo, mi amistad contigo se ha aumentado.
Okay, oh, thank you. I'm quite thrilled. He says that many through YouTube and other social networks, many people have contacted him, asking him, showing interest in the subject, and he also points out that. He may have found opposition, but also he has had positive effects in as much as it has improved or increased his friendship with other people like myself.
Y vi que estoy muy agradecido porque hay una gente que me valora mucho la valentía. La valentía de haber escrito el libro, mucha gente me lo está reconociendo. O no mucha gente, pero la gente que me escribe me da mucha fuerza porque dicen, ole tus cojones. O sea, que qué
Uf, ¿cómo se dice eso en inglés?
bien.
He's very inspired by by some people who have recognized the merit and the courage he has showed when writing the book. That they have said, "Ole, maestro."
I'm glad to hear. Well, your courage is very recognized here too. I'm really very very impressed and very 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 pleased to have found the work that you're doing. So to that end, I really really hope that the work that you're doing becomes available to a wider audience. I so hope that there will be an English translation at some point and then a publication in more places in the world. May I ask you if there are any plans at this point to do a translation, if that's something that you're seeking?
Bueno, que a ella le gustaría que tu libro tuviera repercusión en el mundo. Bueno,
Sí.
I suppose not only the United States, but all the English-speaking world. Y que si, bueno, que si estás contemplando la posibilidad de que salga una traducción al inglés de tu libro, pues para llegar a una
Sí,
audiencia mayor.
espero cuando si llego a la jubilación, cosa que no lo sé, ¿no? Pues sí me gustaría que esta obra fuera traducida al inglés y que tuviera mayor conocimiento, bueno, sí, cuanto antes.
Yes, he hopes that
Cuanto antes me jubile, mejor.
when he's retired, the sooner he retires, the better. He points out that he hopes that his work will be translated into English someday, and so that it has a wider repercussion, international, and of course it's a strong wish that he hopes to see come true someday.
Well, I'll very much be keeping my fingers crossed. I you know, if there's anything I can do to make that happen, I will do my, you know, I really want to see that happen for sure. So do you think that antinatalism will remain an important part of your work moving forward? Do you have plans to do more works on the subject? Now, I spoke a little bit about this already, but I just ask again. And regardless, what's next for you? What are you working on next? I know you've just released this, but yeah.
Bueno, si piensas seguir trabajando sobre el tema del antinatalismo e independientemente del antinatalismo, ¿cuál van a ser tus próximos trabajos o qué temas vas a tratar?
Sí, bueno, tengo mucho interés en el tema de la existencia que antes había dicho. Y sí, este tema yo creo que hay que seguir trabajando en ello. Porque creo que, como decía antes, los filósofos académicos creen que lo más importante son otras cosas de política, ética, y luego olvidan una cuestión crucial, que si es de recibo traer hijos al mundo, y tal, ¿no? Entonces sí, si sigo con vida, pues voy a seguir en este tema, y en los que antes he dicho, de psicología, de tal, sí.
The problem of existence, he thinks it's a crucial issue. And of course, he intends to publish more works on the subject of antinatalism, but without forgetting other fields such as psychology, conductism, etc. Behaviorism.
All right, wonderful. Lots to look forward to. Miguel, where can people find you on the internet, and how can people best support your works moving forward?
Bueno, que si, ¿cómo crees que en qué medida crees que internet, las redes sociales podrían constituir un apoyo para tu obra en el futuro?
Bueno, con más vídeos de YouTube, con interviews como la de Amanda, un poco conectando con más gente, un poco hecho. Cada vez haciendo más énfasis en la publicidad, pues antinatalista o en este sentido, ¿no?
I think that the way to make his work known to a bigger audience is by uploading more videos to the internet.
Dando la cara.
Facing.
Poniéndose así, diciendo, esto lo pienso yo porque creo que es verdad.
Stating his point of view with conviction and little by little, he hopes that the movement will develop.
And I'm confident it will. So wonderful. The fight goes on and on. And I'm just was so happy that that you're in the fight with the rest of us and producing works. It's really a wonderful thing. Miguel, it's been such a pleasure speaking with you today. It's always really such a delight for me to meet a new antinatalist philosopher and one that's actively producing works. I'm so happy that you've begun to produce work on this subject and that you will continue to. I so look forward to seeing what you will produce in the future. I so hope that it will become available in not only English, but other languages and in your YouTube videos as well. So thank you so much for being my guest today on the Exploring Antinatalism podcast. And Fernando, you as well, you have made this interview possible. So I cannot tell you how grateful I am to you for volunteering to do the translation between Miguel and I. Thank you so, so much. Thank you so much to both of you for being my guest today on the Exploring Antinatalism podcast. It's been nothing short of a pleasure.
Y bueno, que bueno, que es que te está, que nos está muy agradecidos a los dos, que espera que en el futuro, pues, tu pensamiento tenga una amplia repercusión, que espera también, pues, que sea traducido a tu libro al mayor número de lenguas posibles. Uh-huh. No solamente inglés, y que bueno, pues que es muy gratificante el el haberte tenido en su programa, el haber conocido a un pensador como tú.
Pues yo estoy muy agradecido a Fernando y a ti, Amanda, por este encuentro, así a tantos kilómetros de distancia, y luego también reivindicar, pues en la filosofía, no dejar los temas tan importantes como es este de pasada, ¿no? O sea, no dejarlos como si fueran cosa menor, sino ver que el sufrimiento de los semejantes, el que esta vida nos regala con cánceres, con la muerte de nuestros padres, con la muerte segura nuestra, pues que es algo para meditar, ¿no? Muy agradecido a ti, Amanda, a Fernando y eso.
He is very grateful to you and to me, and he points out that it is important that people start meditating on such questions, the tragedies of existence, such as the death of our dearest people, and the absolutely certain the day the death of ourselves.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, gracias, Fernando and Miguel. This has really been, I've really had a great time speaking with both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks.
Check out the links in the description to find where you can buy Miguel's new book, subscribe to him on YouTube, and follow him on Facebook.
Thank you for listening to the Exploring Antinatalism podcast. Please follow the podcast on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Exploring Antinatalism can also be heard on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Buzzsprout, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Amazon.com, and so many other platforms. You can email me at exploringantinatalism@gmail.com. Website designed by Visions Noirs. Please follow him at www.bilenoir.com and follow him on Instagram. Logo art by Life Sucks. Please subscribe to him on YouTube and check out his shop on Etsy at www.etsy.com/shop/lifesuckspublishing. Music by Mati Hairi. You can hear the whole song, Life is a Sexually Transmitted Disease with a Mortality Rate of 100%, by following the link in the description. And make sure to also read his academic paper, which inspired the song, If You Must Give Them a Gift, Then Give Them the Gift of Non-Existence, in the Cambridge Quarterly of Healthcare Ethics on cambridge.org. Links below. All the best, and bye for now.
Life is no thrill. It's worse than ill. So draw the right conclusion. Let them be still.